heart of fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Happy Lent, everyone. Hopefully it's going well. Thank you for making the Rediscover Hour part of your Lenten journey. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again here on the Rediscover Hour as we head into the second weekend of Lent. How's it going? Is it going all right? How are the disciplines doing? Have you felt the absence of things? Yeah, I remember somebody was telling me, I think it was a priest friend who was telling me that, yeah, I'm only hungry 2 days a year, right? So Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, the only, you could miss lunch and not even think about it one day. But as soon as you're told that you have to, the whole concupiscence thing kicks in and you just, I'm hungry. Anyway, it is Transfiguration Sunday this coming weekend. We always focus in on the Transfiguration in this early part of Lent, and a few reflections on Transfiguration so many things that you could pull out of the story of the Transfiguration. But specifically, I wanted to focus on something here that the whole gospel passage talks about Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up the mountain, up Mount Tabor with him. And really, for the bulk of it, we are shown the whole instance of the Transfiguration through the eyes of them being spectators or observers or witnesses. Now, it's not that they weren't involved at all, but indeed, Jesus was, in a sense, revealing his glory ahead of time to these beloved three, Peter, James, and John. And so they are, at this stage, I probably just see themselves as witnesses of this phenomenal, and I mean that literally, phenomenal event that occurs with this Lord that they've been following, with this master, with this rabbi that they've been following. And the thing is that Jesus invites us all, yes, to be witnesses of his good work in the world, certainly, and his good work in our lives. But as we say yes to him, and as we follow him ever more nearly in our lives, what happens is we go from being witnesses to being, I suppose you could say, partners, to actually being participants in the divine life, participants in the divine nature. And that's one of the things that the sacraments, especially baptism and the Eucharist, but all the sacraments really invite us into, is becoming a participant in Jesus' own life. And that's why we go throughout the liturgical calendar every year, is to draw ourselves more, ever more nearly into the story of Jesus, not just because we're casual observers. Not that I don't know that you could ever be a casual observer of Jesus, right? But we're not casual observers, but we are invited to actually participate in his divine life, and especially in his suffering. And I don't know. I like to think that that's why, perhaps, Holy Mother Church, in her wisdom, set up the second reading in our Transfiguration accounts of this coming Sunday as being from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Where St. Paul writes, "Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." Very interesting. You're bearing hardship for the gospel. And so, yes, there is an invitation to come into the sufferings of Jesus particularly. And we know in other places where St. Paul has said that we are invited into the sufferings of Jesus. St. Paul says, "May I be an imitator of Jesus, especially in his sufferings, that I might somehow partake or achieve the resurrection from the dead." So bear your hardship, be participants in Jesus' suffering. Well, how do we go about that? I think a real key to this is illumined for us within the readings that are given to us this Sunday. First of all, it's God's initiative. So I think sometimes we can think, well, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and even we could do it with a good intention, with good heart. We could say, I am going to give up this, or I am going to suffer in this way for others. I want to, I know we're encouraged to bear the burdens of others, and I know that that's a good prayer to make, is to, Lord, help me to bear the burdens of others. But it's always God's initiative. That's the thing that I'm underscoring here. So again, from the 2 Timothy reading, it says, He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to His own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, right? So it's His initiative, because Jesus is the ultimate person for us all to aspire to. Yes, our Lady is the perfect disciple. We've talked about that before. But she's the perfect disciple because she was so fully united to her Son. And not just through carrying Him in her womb, but by her fiat, by her will, saying yes to the Lord. And that's what we are invited to do too. So respond, we are called to respond in faith to God's initiative. Now, our response, our will is necessary. We can't just kind of let it happen to us. I think, yes, hardships will come our way, even regardless of how we choose to live our life. But if we choose to live our life in accordance with God's initiative, then when sufferings just come our way, we see a new meaning and a new purpose to them. We can unite those sufferings to the suffering of Christ Himself. And we can choose to suffer for the sake of Christ, uniting our sufferings. And that's what I think the Lenten disciplines are all about. So hopefully, as I've mentioned before, hopefully you did choose not just to take up some spiritual practice this Lent, but also to give something up, to suffer in some way through Lent, not because it makes us a better person in and of ourselves, but because we can then unite that suffering with the sufferings of Christ and bear our share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes not from ourselves, but from God. So that's my little encouragement this day. And I ask you to, maybe if you haven't given up something for Lent, then this is a good time to choose to do that. All right, here's what we got coming up on the show today. Our old friend Jason Adkins from the Minnesota Catholic Conference is back with us to talk about this Minnesota legislative session. Vianney Nguyen from the Parishes of St. Michael and St. Mary's in Stillwater is with us as part of our Great Catholic Parishes segment to talk a little bit about what's going on with youth there over in St. Michael's and St. Mary's. And then a little bit later on, Gail Dorn from CSCO, the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, is with us to talk about Catholic schools as it is enrollment season. So we are promoting Catholic schools and Catholic school participation. But let's, as always here at the top of the show, pause and say a prayer, giving over the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joining me in studio are, I said old friend before, that wasn't an age joke, it's just, you've been a friend of the Rediscover Hour for a long time, Jason. So Jason Adkins is the Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, which is the public policy voice of the Catholic Church in Minnesota. His writing has appeared in numerous publications, and he is a frequent guest on the TV and on the radio and here on the Rediscover Hour. Jason, welcome back to the program.
It's a joy to be with you, Patrick.
Thanks always so much. Is. Yes, absolutely. It's always good to have you in. And it's always good to have you update us on what's going on in the Minnesota legislature. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you, because you've actually got a show here on Relevant Radio as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So the Bridge Builder show appears on Relevant Radio Saturday mornings at 11. It's been a lot of fun. We're now statewide.
Yeah.
And what we try to do in that half hour is provide some real content in terms of strong thought pieces, like what does it mean to think about key issues? And we bring on experts on all kinds of topics, whether it's Jeannie Mancini from the National March for Life organization, to someone unpacking what it means when people talk about a climate crisis, to a philosophy professor who has translated the works of the Italian philosopher Augusto Del Noce.
So okay.
It's really broad and diverse in terms of our guests, but it's, you know, what are the key issues impacting about how we think and live and act in the public arena? And so it's really been an exciting journey thus far, having the show again. That's Saturday mornings at 11. But if people miss a show, mncatholic.org/podcast. We do two other things as well. We have a mailbag segment because people are always asking us, well, why does the church take this position on this issue? Why are we opposed to recreational marijuana? And so we'll unpack that. You know, what's going on? Why has Pope Francis spoken out against nuclear weapons? I thought nuclear weapons are a great mode of deterrence and keep us safe. So what does the church mean when it takes these strong positions in the public arena? So we unpack that a little bit. And then finally, at the end of the show, we have a bricklayer segment.
Nice.
The common good is built brick by brick.
Yeah.
Right? And so we give people a practical thing that they can do to bring their faith into public life. And as you exhorted people to give something up for Lent, often people, I think, might be tempted to give up politics for Lent. Politics as emotionally charged entertainment,
right?
Watching it on TV. But we hope people actually embrace politics as a mode of discipleship and engage it for the public good. Politics, as Pope Francis says, is one of the highest forms of charity because it serves the public good. It's a way that we love our neighbor by helping to promote policies that serve human dignity and the common good.
Now, it sounds to me like if people are giving up something politics-related, maybe they should give up some of the, shall we say, rather slanted shows that they can see on TV and listen to your show instead.
It would be one way to think about politics in the way the church thinks
about
it.
There you go.
Right? So are we going to shape the political parties, or are we going to let the political parties shape us? I hear often from people, well, I love watching this show or that show because I, quote, need to stay informed. Well, most of these political shows are entertainment. They're trying to sell beer and shampoo, and they're trying to get you to come back. It's a fix, right?
Right.
So how do we think about politics, spend that same amount of time thinking about it from the perspective of Catholic social teaching and in light of our mission as disciples?
Right. I don't think you'll ever hear a beer or shampoo commercial as part of the Rediscover Hour, and probably not with your show either. So, but it does occur to me, since your show airs at Saturday at 11, yeah, in the morning, our show, this show, is people might be listening. They might be hearing a lot of you right now because they might have just listened to you, and now we're on at noon on Saturday. So,
well, it's a mortification, a penance during
there
Lent,
you go.
Right?
Yep, joining in with Jesus' suffering. There you
That's
go.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's shift gears now. Let's talk a little bit. Tell us all about what's going on with the Minnesota legislature right now that we should be concerned
about. Well, we're about a month into session
at
this point, but we're also full steam ahead toward legislative deadlines. And legislative deadlines are the point at which a piece of legislation has to have action taken on it in at least one body. And then there's another deadline the week after that says you have to have the piece of legislation has to be have action taken on it in both bodies. That's a way to cut through the wheat from the chaff. There are thousands of bills that are introduced every year. And so, you know, which ones are going to actually move forward during the process? It's a way to consolidate legislative work, streamline the process, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a really short session. They're going to adjourn in the early part of May. What are the big issues?
Yeah.
It's a challenge right now. We have the only divided legislature in the country. And what I mean by that is one house controlled by Republicans and one house controlled by Democrats. So the House is controlled by Democrats, Senate's controlled by Republicans. It's going to be really challenging in an election year to get things done.
Sure.
So a lot of what you're seeing is really sort of expansive pieces of legislation that are not likely to pass but make for good political in conversation as you're going into an election season. Well, we have this ambitious plan for early childhood education. We want to do a huge tax bill. But for the other party in charge, we would do this.
Right. Yeah.
So a lot of what's going on is that. There are a couple things, though, that I would highlight that are likely to move forward. One is a bonding bill. So typically in an odd year, the first year of the biennium, like last year, we'd have a budget. The legislature is required to put together a budget with the governor. In these even years, we often have a bonding bill, which is really a construction bill. This year, a big issue on everyone's radar, regardless if you're in Minneapolis or Moorhead, it's affordable housing. People are having trouble finding affordable housing. There's not enough affordable housing stock. All legislators are hearing about that. There's a real need to ensure that we have affordable housing. How best do we do that? There's some ambitious bonding proposals to create and stimulate a more affordable housing out there. There's also some important legislation that's outside of the bonding bill, but related in terms of emergency shelters. How do we create more emergency shelter capacity, both in terms of the services they provide, but also more beds as well? And so Catholic Charities and a number of other organizations that we're aligned with are promoting emergency shelters. Another related bonding issue is clean water infrastructure, too. We saw a few years ago in Flint, Michigan, and some other places, the way in which sometimes we take for granted access to clean drinking water.
Yeah.
And how do we create clean wastewater and drinking water infrastructure? How do we ensure that we have the resources and capacity to ensure that our natural resources are protected as well? So there are a couple of big things in a bonding year that are going to gain some attention. I think the best chance of actually passing and working its way through the process.
Give us an idea, too, when you're talking about something like affordable housing. I think that there's a public perception about, either we pay more taxes and have the government build all these affordable housing, or we're more charitable in our own giving and we see private institutions like the church, create more affordable housing that way. But is there any truth to that sort of perception, or how does the church see that in terms of how do church and state work together for a common good like affordable housing?
Well, there's a lot of ways of doing that. And so when we get involved in an issue in related housing, we make a prudential judgment that certain types of things are good solutions. They're not exclusive, right? One issue that gets talked about as well as from an affordability standpoint is regulations. It costs much more to build the same home in the Twin Cities mm-hmm. than it does in Western Wisconsin.
Sure.
Why is that the case? Are there regulatory matters that we could look at as well? So oftentimes what you'll see is, some people proposing regulatory reform, and other times people are proposing affordable housing. We think a mix and match of different approaches can often be a good one. But at minimum, I think when it comes to affordable housing and shelter, we have to look at the homeless first. Like, yeah. Who are the most poor? Who are the most vulnerable? And that shelter funding and that big mix of affordable housing conversation, how do we help the most destitute and those who need access to basic shelter to protect their dignity? Access to shelter is a basic human right. So how do we ensure that the most poor and vulnerable among us have that available to them? And then we start thinking about making housing more affordable for everybody.
Access to shelter is one of the corporal works of mercy as well, as is giving drink to the thirsty. So, yeah, tell us a little bit more about clean drinking water. What's going on in that?
So that's exactly right. Thinking about, we talk about these pieces of legislation and thinking about them from the standpoint of our faith. It's
right.
Not like they, welcoming, immigration reform. Well, it's welcoming the stranger. I mean, these are biblical mandates. When you peel back the policy jargon and everything else, there's a deep there's a deep sense that these are part of the works of mercy, and that's where these things come from. They're not, we just didn't make them up whole cloth, right? So from the drinking water standpoint, we have very aged infrastructure in many, many places. And so how do we create better and renew infrastructure that's aging? How do we create better infrastructure in some place and then create the financing mechanisms for people to build those things, right? Just like when you're buying a home or building a home, you need the debt financing to do so. That's what the bonding money does, is create that mechanism for financing these projects long term, because it's hard to pay for them all at once, right?
Right, right. So with the things that we're putting together, the things that we're looking at, the things that we're trying to do, how would you recommend, I know one of your answers to this is that how do people become more informed and help shape the looking at these public policy issues through the lens of their faith? What resources do they draw on, and how can they take practical steps, maybe even as part of this season of Lent, that it's seeing, okay, well, this is one of the things I can take up. I can become more involved, but like we said earlier, not through sensationalist style entertainment journalism, but through the eyes of my Catholic faith.
I think there's the very pragmatic, and I'll start with that.
Yeah, please.
And that's join the Catholic Advocacy Network.
There
so
you go.
It's hard to keep in on top of what's going on, what to say, when to say, how to say it. So we try to make it easy for people through the Catholic Advocacy Network, which you can join at mncatholic.org. Again, that's mncatholic.org. And with a click of the mouse, you can send a message to your legislator about key issues impacting life and dignity, and join your voice to the voice of the bishops on important public policy questions. So that's a really easy thing to do on concrete pieces of legislation, concrete, no pun intended, with the bonding bill. But
there you go.
There's the pragmatic, and then there's at the level of principle, at the level of formation.
Mm-hmm.
This year we put out a resource called Minnesota, Our Common Home, which was a local adaptation of Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si. Mm-hmm. Now, people sort of wrote that off. Well, that's the climate change encyclical. It talks about climate change. Well, it's so much more. It's
I was going to say, have they read it?
Yeah, it's hard. It's 200 pages.
It is long.
We wanted to boil it down into something more accessible.
Yeah, I like that.
And so Minnesota, Our Common Home is a way of doing that, but it's a representation of Catholic social teaching through this lens of integral ecology.
Right.
It helps us see how everything is connected, as Pope Francis says, that if you care about the sanctity of life and preventing abortion, what are we doing about access to maternal nutrition, access to housing, access to economic security? It looks at policy and helps us look at policy through the lens of an ecosystem, right? That these issues aren't simply isolated from one another. But there's an interconnectivity to them.
And
we have to start thinking about things that way.
It's not this sort of butterfly effect type of thing a butterfly flaps its wings and wherever it is, Malaysia, and a hurricane hits the East Coast or something like that. But it's by design. I mean, the Lord designed us into this particular system, as you've put it. And so the integral ecology seems to really resonate well with a holistic view of God and how he is concerned about us and how he acts within our lives and the lives of creation.
Well, that's right. We talk about the natural law.
Yeah.
The natural law is not simply a series of commands about what we should and shouldn't
right.
do, but it's our rational participation in the ordering of creation by the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting,
mm-hmm.
right? And
it
so
is.
It's a beautiful representation of the natural law through this ecological frame. And the ecological frame of reference is something that people intuitively grasp. So we often struggle with presenting Catholic social teaching to people because of the jargon and the terms. But thinking of these matters, thinking from the standpoint of the natural ecology and the human ecology is really, really important. So at the level of study, at the level of principle, I can't recommend enough our resource, Minnesota, Our Common Home. We have a study guide version of that. We have an ecological examine, and it's not an examination of conscience about how many single-use plastic straws or, things like that. It's about how are we managing our consumption habits? How are we interacting with the natural order? How do we treat our bodies? Because being right. a steward of our bodies is part of that having that sense of good stewardship, right? And
yeah.
caring for creation. And so I think these are great resources. Already parishes have embraced the study guide, the cathedral, St. Olaf in Minneapolis, I believe, is doing a study as well. Other
nice.
Parishes are taking this on. So I mentioned the very pragmatic, the Catholic Advocacy Network, but also something a little bit going deeper, Minnesota, Our Common Home. I can't commend that enough during this Lent.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but let's hit those one more time. So if they want to embrace with Minnesota, Our Common Home, where do they find that?
Everything's at mncatholic.org.
Okay, even the Catholic Advocacy?
You can sign up through the Catholic Advocacy Network through mncatholic.org, and you can also find the resources free to download, or you can order print copies for your parish, mncatholic.org of Minnesota, Our Common Home.
Perfect. Jason Adkins, Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Always a pleasure to have you on. Come back real soon.
It's a blessing. Thanks, Patrick.
All right. We're going to go into our first break. When we come back, we've got Vianney Nguyen from the parishes of St. Mary and St. Michael talking about what's going on in the lives of youth. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
And I just showed up.
And We're back in the Rediscover Hour. Joining me now in studio, Vianney Nguyen, who is the Youth Evangelization and Discipleship Coordinator at St. Mary's and St. Michael's in Stillwater. He oversees 7th to 12th grade faith formation, confirmation prep, and discipleship groups. And just a little public interest thing about him. He says he loves going to local coffee shops and breweries. He loves disc golf, volleyball, ping pong, and reading. And he's part of the worship band In the Name, who we featured last week here on the Rediscover Hour. So go back and listen to our archives, which can be found at archspm.org. And then just search for Rediscover, and you'll come up with our archives there. Vianney, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's great having you with us. All right, so why don't you just give us an overview of, I gave the words about what you do for St. Mary's, St. Michael's, but give us, unpack that a little bit, help us to understand more of what you do on a day-to-day basis out there in interacting with the youth of St. Mary's, St. Michael's.
Sure. So I work with 7th through 12th grade. 7th through 8th grade faith formation program is every single Wednesday, and so we meet in the evenings. Excuse me. And with the high school students, I get to meet with them twice a week on Sundays and Wednesdays. And we have a beautiful program with different things for them to do in encountering the Lord with the community. And then I also take care of confirmation preparation for both 8th grade through 11th grade students.
Have you been attracted to working with young people for a long time? I mean, I know you're not my age, but this been a desire of yours for a long time?
I've loved working with the youth since I was a youth.
Okay, fair enough.
So I remember helping out at my home parish's summer vacation Bible camp when I was in high school, just working with the little kids, kindergartners and so on, and just always really enjoyed hanging out with them, just having fun and teaching them about the Lord through catechesis. So that's always been a big part of my life. Didn't really think that it'd become a part of something that I'd be doing as an adult, but I love it. It's something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah. And what did you do in preparation for working with youth? What did your education consist of, your formation, that sort of thing?
Sure. So I went to St. Mary's University in Winona for my undergraduate. I actually started off as a seminarian for the Diocese of Winona at Immaculate Heart of Mary Seminary. And so I was there for my first couple of years straight out of high school. Discerned that God wasn't calling me to the priesthood. And so I discerned out my junior year and finished off my philosophy degree. And throughout those next couple of years, I realized that God was calling me to youth ministry.
Yeah, and so you made your way up the river here, so to speak, and
betrayed my home diocese.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, we're blessed to have you in our midst. I appreciate that. Now, I do have to ask about In the Name, since we featured them. We had John and Austin on last week, and good friends of yours. You said
they are.
Is there a good network of youth ministers here in the Archdiocese?
Yeah. So that's something I've actually talked quite a bit about with my friends and just other people in the diocese, just the appreciation that I have for the interconnectedness within the Archdiocese. It's kind of like this beautiful epicenter, booming with a lot of opportunities for the youth, but then also just so much formation for adults and for the youth ministers themselves, realizing that I'm coming from the Diocese of Winona, which is literally a pencil from South Dakota to Wisconsin on I-90.
Yep,
so there was never really a central location growing up for all the parishes to meet and all the people working in the parishes. Also a lot of more rural communities. And so seeing the pros and cons of both, obviously, but it's been such a blessing coming to the Archdiocese and seeing the support that I have from the Archdiocese.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very good. Just curious too, now this is part of we're featuring you and St. Mary's, St. Michael's as part of our Great Catholic Parishes monthly segment, highlighting some of the different things that are going on. What makes St. Mary's, St. Michael's a good place, not just for you to work, but also a good place for you to do youth work, youth ministry?
Stillwater is a beautiful, beautiful city, right on the river, border of Wisconsin. And so it's really got its own character. I love being able to see the faithfulness of the community there. Just a very tight-knit community, very faithful, very reverent. So working with the staff there has also been amazing. I work with quite a few other people on the Faith Formation staff alone, and they have truly been my support and just have been so kind in mentoring me since I'm pretty new to the job. But I also just love the area, though, in Stillwater, being right on the river, the downtown area. Has its own charm.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually one of my favorite things to do with the youth is we meet every second and fourth Sundays at one of the local coffee shops in town. So we get to support the community, but then also we meet to talk about apologetics over coffee.
Nice.
And it's one of the best, most loved events that we put on in front of the parishes, so the youth love it.
Yeah, talking about apologetics over coffee. Great. Tell us more. Tell us more about the things, the events, the programs that you've done, you've put together, and that you've been part of in your time at St. Mary's St. Michael's.
Sure. So we have quite a bit for the high school community. It's a lot to really grasp. It's basically a monthly rotation of events. And so I mentioned that we meet every Sunday and Wednesday of a given week. But each time we meet with the high school community, it's never going to be the same event within a month. So it's a repetition of events throughout every single month. And so, for example, the first Sunday of the month, we have Faith and Culture meeting. So we meet at the church, we usually have a presentation, and I usually kind of give a theme for the month for everyone to reflect on. And usually we talk about just very kind of the transcendentals and just deep philosophical ideas. So like truth, love, beauty, and talking about how do we see these in culture? What does this have to do with my life? And so the question that we try to aim for the vision of our high school community as a whole is, what does it mean to be a Catholic? What does it look like for me to be a Catholic as a high school student? Mm. And so every single time we meet, we're always trying to figure out, how do I unify my faith in my life? My life and my faith shouldn't be separate things.
Love it.
But no, like my faith and my life should be one. So how am I able to really experience what Christ says at the end of the Gospels as, you know, I'm with you always till the end of the age? What does that mean that he's present to me right now, like even in my studies? And so that's why we have so many different events. Every first Wednesday of the month, we have study meeting. We literally come together just to do homework. And then we do like a brief catechesis on work, understanding why is it important for us to work, but then also work together in community. Why is it important for us to study? One of my favorites is high school dinners. I'm a pretty big foodie. I actually did my my undergraduate senior thesis on the ethics of eating.
Love it.
And so every single third Wednesday, which was last Wednesday, we have high school dinners, and we literally just meet at other people's homes. So the parents of the high school students, they get to host the dinners once a month, and we literally just come together, breaking bread together as a communal event.
And it's not just frozen pizzas?
No, it's the table is set, everything is given to them. We teach them that, like, especially even the way that they're given the meal, you know, we could easily have them do it buffet style, where they just kind of grab the tongs and like, okay, I'm getting this. And, but even that mentality subconsciously is saying, I'm taking this food for myself.
Mm.
But no, I'm trying to teach them that this food that we're able to receive tonight is pure undeserved gift. You didn't do anything to prepare the meal. You didn't do anything to deserve this meal. It's pure undeserved gift. And so it is a reflection of our entire lives. Like our entire lives is pure undeserved gift from God. We don't deserve it. We really shouldn't be here by any means, and yet we are because of God's love. And that's something that blows my mind, and I love to share with the community through, and the parents also get to learn it too, so it's a win-win.
I love it, and for a number of reasons, but I love the fact that you're thinking deeply about just ordinary everyday practices like eating, and it helps, I'm sure, that your thesis was on the ethics of eating, which I think that's great. We could talk about that as well, but do you think that this is a powerful and effective way of reaching the youth today, is to take something like that and thinking deeply about the things that are already in their lives? And if so, how can others kind of pick up on that and mimic that, or do it with their own children or their people that they're close to?
Yeah, it's absolutely crucial that we're asking these deep questions and having them see deeper than what meets the eye. If we're trying to unify our faith in our lives, it means taking every aspect of our lives and understanding that even in this seemingly mundane, ordinary moment, there is something, there is a presence, there is another within our midst. And that takes years of preparation and understanding and growth just within the faith. But then it also takes a spiritual maturity, you know, so that's why we also pray together and emphasize that you need to have personal prayer. You need to have a personal prayer life. But it's so crucial because they're thrown from one thing to the next, and so often they're just so busy, and even, you know, the sports that they do and just everything that they are pressured to go into, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to not see the meaning within the things that they do. So the last thing that I want them to do is to come to the church and be like, oh, it's just another thing
just
to do.
Another thing, yeah.
You know, it's so much more than that. Even in the way that we educate, you know, in the Catholic school systems, it's like religion isn't supposed to be just another class that you take. It's supposed to be the primary. So how is my faith really encompassing all these classes that I take? How can I experience Christ even in my math class or something like that?
Right.
And so I think it's a very beautiful way to understand the faith is something not just like I do on Sundays or something that I do when I come to youth group. It's something that comes home with me after I leave. That's something that I live out every single breathing moment, that my entire life, every single moment can be a prayer. And that takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of recognition of my life is not my own, but my life is for another, for our beloved.
Love it. At the top of the show, I was speaking a little bit about the going from how we're called out of the world of being an observer, or I guess another way of putting it would be a consumer, and into the world of being a participant. And I've heard people say, you know, sometimes they'll say, I feel like I'm an observer to my own life. Like I'm not really participating in my own life, or my life is happening outside of me. Now it sounds to me like some of the things that you're talking about and doing with these youth, that it's helping them make that transition to the point where it's not, like you said, youth can be busy and busy and just their schedule's packed. More packed than I think a lot of adults are with event after event after extracurricular activity that they're always going to. But I love the fact that you are focusing in on some very basic, fundamental things, but thinking deeply through them and through a prayerful attitude, encouraging them to engage with it as, again, not an observer, but as a participant.
Yeah, something that I've really realized, even in my own life too, is recognizing the need for community. And I think that's something that could be thrown around, just be like, oh, community, yes, we need it. No, it's so crucial because the things that I need for my faith is one, first and foremost, relationship with Christ. If I don't know my Creator, if I don't know my Beloved, then how can I pray? How can I sit with Him in prayer? How can I even know who I'm worshiping and offering sacrifice to in the Mass on Sundays? So understanding who my Creator is, understanding having that relationship, that I can indeed have a personal relationship with Christ, but then also the need for community, the need for grace. And I am a firm believer that a lot of the grace that we receive is through other people. It's one thing, you know, some people, they might have the vocation to be a hermit, they might have the vocation to enter cloistered religious life, and even then, it's like they still have that community supporting them. That's something that I really learned in seminary, was that I need brothers. I need people who are supporting me, who are also like-minded and seeking the Lord, who can support me and teach me that, yeah, it's worth fighting for. It's something worth sacrificing my entire life for. And if I don't see that, you know, because as human beings, we're material as well. We're sacramental creatures. We need to see the things of this earth in order for us to understand the divine. And so the core of what I'm trying to do with the youth at our parish is that recognizing that they do need relationship with Christ, first and foremost, but then also relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And what better way to do that by having events where they can come together just for coffee, doing the mundane, ordinary things, helps them recognize, yes, I can do this in everywhere that I go.
Right.
But then also, once they go to college, I really, really hope that they recognize that emptiness after they leave their community and the parish. But that emptiness is going to help them realize that I do need that community everywhere I go, wherever I am in my life, transitioning. You know, so hopefully helping them find that within Catholic Newman Centers in college or whatever community that they can find that in. So that's so crucial.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe it, but we're out of time. Vianney Nguyen is, again, he's a youth evangelization and discipleship coordinator at St. Michael St. Mary's. This has been part of our Great Catholic Parishes segment. But Vianney, I just got to say, in the brief time of speaking with you, I know that St. Michael St. Mary's is blessed to have you. I thank you that you are a deep thinker about the things of life and that your aim is to bring young people closer to the Lord. God bless you in all you do, and thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, Gail Dorn from Cisco is with us to talk about Catholic schools. Stay with us.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
We are your people. We are your children, oh God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cammy Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio is Gail Dorn, who was a senior executive at Target for 28 years in the areas of marketing, community relations, and communications, and served as spokesperson for that Fortune 100 company. And she is now the president of the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, which is what we're going to talk about, so I won't give too much away there. Gail, it's great to have you back on the program. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Oh, very good. So let's start with a definition. What is the Catholic Center School of School? Let me
I'll
try
say
that
it
again.
For you.
Catholic Schools Center of Excellence. I know what it is.
Perfect. Yeah, it's a mouthful, and that's why we refer to ourselves as Cisco.
Cisco,
and,
right.
And then I explain to people, not that Cisco.
Not that. That's
the
exactly
other
right.
Cisco.
The other Cisco.
Yeah, so the Catholic School Center of Excellence was founded almost 5 years ago. We're just coming up on our fifth anniversary this spring. And we were founded with the mission of helping all 79 of our beautiful Catholic grade schools. So we work with the young ones in this archdiocese. And we do it in two ways. We want to increase excellence, both spiritual and academic, and we want to increase enrollment. Mm-hmm. We want more souls for Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's, we're a two-trick pony. That's all we do. I tell our staff, if you're not increasing excellence or increasing enrollment, stop doing it. We feel a sense of urgency to help these beautiful schools.
Right. Okay. So give us some examples. Flesh out for us what it means to, how do you work to improve, let's start with excellence.
Yep, for sure. Well, first of all of our programs are opt-in. So we wait for schools to invite us in to work with them. And thankfully, over the last 5 years, we've been able to work with all 79.
Great.
And it's really, to be honest, it's really a one-size-fits-one approach.
Nice.
So I like to say if you've been to one Catholic school, you've been to one Catholic school. And they have different challenges. Our schools are small and large. They are rural and urban and suburban. So they have their own special charisms. And we love that about our Catholic schools. We love the locality of them. Many of them are parish-based. And so we walk in the door and say, how do you want to become more excellent? And they tell us. And then we say, what are the barriers? What's stopping you from doing that? Mm-hmm. And then we try and remove some of those barriers. And it really is that simple. That formula has worked beautifully. We've been able to do teacher training. We've been able to give grants to schools. Sometimes it's the mundane. It's getting schools technology or connected, and teacher laptops, things that they need to go about their business. And sometimes it's very elevated. For instance, every other year we sponsor what we call the Mass of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and we gather all of our 4th through 8th graders. It's about 14,000 kids.
That's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids. It's such a beautiful public Mass that we can celebrate together. We ask the Holy Spirit to bless our coming school year. And we're going to be doing it again this October, and it's going to be at the Excel Energy Center.
Oh, you're
going to
do it indoors.
Yes,
It rains again.
I know. I can't take that.
Still, I have to say that is so memorable. I wasn't there, but just to see all these kids gathered around, because you were at the Saints Stadium for that,
yes.
Is that right?
For our first one, we were at the Saints Stadium. Right. We were outdoors. It was a beautiful Mass, the Archbishop, the Bishop, and we had about 79 of our priests come and celebrate as well.
Amazing.
The second one, we actually did one, a second one at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Okay.
And that also was an incredible experience.
Amazing.
So we're moving it around, and we just love, again, celebrating Mass with our students and our teachers, very, very important. It's also a wonderful public statement to the wider public about the importance of our schools, the purpose of our schools, and it's just a loud proclamation of the good news.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I do want to move on to enrollment, but before we get there, you just mentioned one thing, that you do ask what some schools' barriers are to mm-hmm. achieving excellence. Mm-hmm. Can you just give us an example of maybe two or three examples of what do schools say these are barriers? I realize one, if you've seen one Catholic school, you've seen one, so
sure.
It's not across the board.
Yeah.
But what's an example of a barrier to excellence?
Yeah. Well, boy, there's so many of them, and they're all unique. I would say that sometimes it's teacher training. For instance, we have found as time goes on that we refer to these students as exceptional learners. There's those that either need extra help or they are gifted and talented, and we need to be able to address all God's children, regardless mm-hmm. of where they're on the spectrum.
Sure.
So we provide special training for teachers, resources, grants for additional training, whatever they need to get better to be able to serve all children, regardless of where they're on the spectrum. So that might be one example.
Sure.
Another initiative that we currently have launched, which has really been a beautiful thing, we would like to improve our literacy scores. And I have to say, our schools are excellent when it comes to teaching literacy and reading. However, I found something out nationally in America currently. 60% of our American kids in third grade are not reading at grade level.
60%?
60, which is horrifying.
Yeah.
Our schools are significantly better than that, but we can get even more better.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at about 20% of kids that struggle at third grade, and we want to be able to get that number down very, very low. So we announced a partnership, and it actually is a program that was already in three of our schools and a literacy program. It's a partnership with Groves Academy,
mm-hmm.
A local expert, particularly with kids who might have dyslexia or some other challenge that would prevent them from learning how to read. So we are launching that program. We're in 20 schools right now. We're seeing incredible results and improvements. And it's just so gratifying to see schools want this, and we're able to provide the resources to be able to see those numbers improve.
I love it. All right, so let's move on to enrollment. What do you do to increase enrollment?
First of all, we pray.
Well,
we pray.
That's a good answer.
We want more souls for Christ.
Mm.
And so we have, and you know, this is a little bit of my background coming from a retailer, is understanding marketing and the old adage that the Catholic Church has the best product with the worst marketing department. sometimes, you know, so I like to be able to say we're making a difference in this area. The challenge is that some of the enrollment work that we do at Cisco is centralized, being able to do Facebook ads or billboards or to be on the Christmas channel on the radio. Or recently, we created a Catholic Schools ad that we showed before Frozen 2, you know,
movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that it was in one of the trailers before Frozen 2 in every one of our movie theaters. So we do some collective things to help elevate the visibility of our schools. But the most work we do is really at school level, giving the schools great websites, great social media help, getting them to be able to talk to their community about what a great option it is to be at your local Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things we're trying, which has actually turned out pretty well, is we have, Cisco has hired social media influencers. So we found young Catholic families, they tend to be moms who have kids in Catholic schools who already have a social media following, and we partnered with them to be able to have them help us tell the good news about Catholic school enrollment.
That's great.
Yeah. So we're trying things like that, we're seeing some great results.
Yeah. Wonderful. What's a typical we talked about barriers for excellence, and I'm thinking it is enrollment season now, right? Parents are thinking about where am I going to send my kids to school next year, that sort of thing. So what have you found through experience, through a lot of the talking with Catholic schools and Catholic school parents, which I'm sure you do, that are barriers for parents making the decision to send their kids to Catholic school? What are they on the fence about? What are they saying? Ah, this is really tough. This is a sacrifice, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, good question. And, you know, the old basic word of mouth is still the most effective marketing tool. So we like to engage our current parents to be able to talk and spread the word, our current families. And this can be current parents, this can be grandparents, this can be extended family. But we encourage them to just talk about the excellence of our schools because word of mouth is still number one. However, it is enrollment season, and we have, you know, the foot to the floor on accelerating all of our marketing efforts. We want to be more visible. There's a new crop of young families waiting for us, and we would love to tell them about the beauty of Catholic education and why it's worth the investment, because we do compete with free.
Sure.
And that is a challenge.
Yeah.
But what you get is so much more. So being able to explain sort of why this is a great investment in your child's life, particularly starting at the younger years, preschool, kindergarten through eighth grade, really, really important investment. All of my children went through Catholic schools. I went through Catholic schools. It's just, it transforms lives. And we want to be able to get that message out there.
Yeah. Well, it's very, very important work. You mentioned before a little bit of your past with Target has really helped you in some ways in terms of marketing and things like that. Have you seen other ways in which your experience, God has worked through the experience that he's given you in your earlier professional life into working with Cisco now?
Yeah, this is my second act, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's just a great joy to be able to help and invest in our schools. And I think it is, you know, we have a website called findcatholicschools.org. And I would like to get that in front of every single parent. It allows you to go to that space and type in your, you know, location, and up will pop a bunch of local schools that we would like you to come and visit. So, yeah, we're using a whole bunch of techniques. For instance, we opened up a Catholic school enrollment office in the heart of Lake Street in the Latino community.
Nice.
And last year we saw 150 children come through those doors.
Seriously?
This year we're praying for 300 kids.
Yeah.
And so we're taking this message to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do for our kids and our grandkids what our grandparents did for us, which is build a great and strong Catholic school system.
All right. So definitely parents need to check out, what was it?
FindCatholicSchools.org.
Okay. And there's a whole bunch of, I assume there's a whole bunch of resources there too, not just where's Catholic schools near me, but
absolutely.
Why Catholic school, why Catholic education?
Absolutely. Great. Absolutely. They'll find it all there, and we will follow up individually with families if they have questions and guide them to the right resource.
Great. Great. So you're personally available in that way too. And we should make mention that you said, obviously, with our bishop celebrating this Mass of the Holy Spirit for you and everything, that all of this is done in complete conjunction and correlation with the archdiocese and school system, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yes, we love our Catholic Church. We want to see them improve and grow. And so it's been a delight to be able to co-sponsor all of these events. And we've had the full participation and approval of the archdiocese, which is the only way we want to work.
Right, right. Absolutely. So anything just in our last minute here, anything that people should be praying for Cisco?
I would pray for our beautiful young families, and that they understand the important role as the first and most important teacher of our faith. And we want to walk with them in a beautiful Catholic school community, and we want to prepare those children for this world and the next. And we ask for prayers for our success and growth.
Wonderful. Gail Dorn, president of Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, always great to have you on the program. God bless you and all the work that you do.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, as always, Paul and I have a list of events to help you draw closer to the Lord this Lent. Stay with us.
Rediscover. Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
All the ends of the earth, all you creatures of the sea, lift up your eyes to the wonders of the Lord. For the Lord of the earth, the master of the sea, has come with justice for the world.
Happy Lent to you, Paul.
And to you, too.
And it is a season of joy.
It is. I've always felt that.
Right. Right. And part of that is the church has so many things going on, like,
you've got one more chance to attend a public prayer and listening event as part of the Archdiocesan Pre-Synod process. The last prayer and listening event will be a bilingual event, English and Spanish, Saturday, March 14th, 9 to noon, St. Alphonsus, Brooklyn Center. No registration required. For more information, go to archspm.org/synod.
Can the world make sense without God? Come to the 2020 Catholic Studies Graduate Program Thought and Culture Lecture, where Professor Monsignor Martin Schlag will explore man's attempt to organize the world without God. The event will be Wednesday, March 12th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Anderson Student Center of the University of St. Thomas. Free and open to the public. For more information, visit archspm.org/events.
St. John the Baptist Excelsior invites you to the Father Mark Dosh Speaker Series, March 17th. Featuring acclaimed Catholic theologian, speaker, and author George Weigel. The evening begins 6 p.m. with a St. Patrick's Day-themed welcome reception, followed by presentation by George Weigel, adoration and confessions, fellowship and Q&A. No registration necessary. Free will offering will be taken. Find out more. Go to archspm.org/events.
This Lent, plan on dropping by the cathedral for adoration and confession during this year's 24 Hours for the Lord. Confessions will be offered around the clock in several languages from noon on Friday, March 20th to noon on Saturday, March 21st. There will also be perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament.
Attention middle school students, join youth from around the Midwest Saturday, March 21st at Providence Academy in Plymouth. For Rise Up Twin Cities, the event includes keynote talks by Jimmy Mitchell and Katie Hartfield, Adoration, Reconciliation, Mass with Archbishop Hebda, Praise and Worship led by Sonar Worship, and more. Cost is $60. Register online at partnershipforyouth.org.
The Church of St. Odilia in Shoreview invites you to a back-to-back workshop March 23rd and 24th with nationally renowned speaker Andre Renier. Conversations for Discipleship, from Encounter to Sharing Your Faith. I wanted to highlight this one, too, because we're going to be speaking with Andre Renier in next week's Rediscover Hour, so stay tuned to that, too. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Again, this is March 23rd and 24th at St. Odilia, and Andre will speak from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Light refreshments will follow both nights until 9 p.m. Click the events tab at stodelia.org for all the info. Don't miss out on this opportunity to encounter the Lord more deeply and learn how to effectively share your faith with others.
Man, the 2020 Archdiocesan Men's Conference is coming up March 28, 2020. Theme for this year's largest gathering of Catholic men in the state is Embrace the Challenge. Keynote speaker will be Reverend Paul Scalia, son of the late Justice Antonin Scalia. Go to the events page at archspm.org for more information and to register.
And don't forget to sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
Good idea.
Yeah, very good. Well, as I mentioned, on the next Rediscover Hour, Andre Renier, founder of Catholic Christian Outreach and proud Canadian, will be calling in to discuss his upcoming Lenten series at St. Odilia. Next, Ben Tlugan and Neil Maxwell tell us about their podcast for men. This is a good one. Prayer and Push-Ups. And the youngest soon-to-be-ordained priest in our archdiocese, Deacon Paul Hedman. That all is coming up next week. Happy Lent, folks. Celebrate well. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330.
brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.